Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Business Line podcast. This is your host, Anjana. Mental health concerns have emerged as a significant issue across the world. As individuals deal with increased pressures, social expectations, and personal growth, a new ally has emerged, that is artificial intelligence. Now, many apps that focus on mental health are using AI to help people to provide psychological guidance. One such app is Vyasa. So, how effective can AI be in consoling and guiding on mental health related issues? Can this replace human psychologists? Let's discuss all about it with Riya Yadav, Director of Strategy and Impact, Vyasa. Hello, hi Riya. Riya, I just wanted to understand, how did you blend AI and mental health to create a platform like Vyasa? And has this been really effective?
I think when we think of AI and mental health, typically the first thought that comes to our mind is very robotic chatbots. What we're used to, experiencing, almost everybody, all of us as users, are your customer service chatbots that have been around for years.
Right.
That's sort of the thinking that we wanted to break, which is, can chatbots do more? Can chatbots actually be effective in forming emotional bonds, human bonds? And this, I'm talking about 6-7 years ago when Vyasa was started, which was much, much before this new wave of generative AI and ChatGPT. So imagine 7 years ago, thinking of having a real conversation with a robotic chatbot was very novel. It was very fresh, and it was very something that wasn't very intuitive back then. Joe and Ramakant, our co-founders, started Vyasa very much with that seed, which is they truly believed that AI was capable of having and supporting the emotional needs of a human being at that time. And so I think with that idea, what essentially I quite like to simplify what Vyasa does by primarily saying that it is an aid, or it is an assistant.
Okay.
In some ways, it acts like a life coach to you, where, it's like having a best friend in your pocket. You have in your smartphone an app, which is entirely free for you to use, available 24/7. And when you open it and you open your heart and you vent and you can share all your negative thoughts and emotions without judgment. The AI actually is able to empathize, understand, play it back to you, ask you questions, and at the end of the day, really help you solve your own problems.
Okay. I have to ask this question here. So you're saying that it's like a best friend in your pocket, right? So I guess when we speak about therapy, or when we speak about a support, you don't have to make your therapist your best friend, right? So that brings in a lot of confusion here. So could you just explain how exactly it is different from other chatbots?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you're very right. I think, when you say look for therapy, or, reach out to a mental health professional, you of course want someone who makes you feel safe, understands you, but you also want them to be objective and challenge you and, work towards difficult conversations that are needed for your growth to happen. And that very much is also the principle on which we built Vyasa. Vyasa is very much grounded in psychologically evidence-based theories such as cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, for instance, where the fundamental idea is that how do you reframe negative thoughts and how do you move towards problem solving? And that's what Vyasa does. I think it's achieved this very beautiful balance between being empathetic and listening very actively to whatever the user is saying. But always wrapping that up and bringing that back to saying, hey, I hear you. I understand XYZ. What about ABC? Have you thought of XYZ? So, it's able to first listen and empathize, which helps users create that bond and feel safe opening up to Vyasa. And then it will ask you questions. It'll encourage you to think about certain things. It'll, recommend certain tools or activities for you to try out, which could be maybe a breathing exercise or a sleep story that you would like to listen or something else. So it's also fairly actionable at times when the chatbot thinks there is a need for you to, take a break and try out some activity. And all of this we've been able to build, Anjana, primarily through years and years of iterations. I think our AI models now have undergone almost 800 iterations, and it's all been based on, every year, the more users we had on the platform, the more we learned. And we're very, very user-centered in how the entire app was developed from day one, which is, if and maybe, if it's helpful, I can give you one very nice example that kind of puts this in perspective. So initially, one of the things that AI models would do is, when someone would vent about injustice, like, hey, I had a fight with my boss or something like that on the Wiser chatbot, our AI models were able to detect, okay, there is some anger, da da da. And then, we've got pre-coded messages written by our clinicians, which tell the AI chatbot to say, ki theek hai, now you tell this user, I hear you, but is there something that, is in your control and are you grateful for XYZ?
All
So that was
right.
like a standard typical empathetic conversation you can imagine that often works. However, when we started doing this, across different topics of conversations, one area where users didn't like this at all was when someone would share about, say, their spouse or their husband cheating on them. And, they, we had users, I think this is about like 4 or 5 years ago, we had users on the Wiser app saying, my partner cheated on me, like I'm angry, this, that. And then using that same model, Wiser would, start by saying, I hear you, but, is there something you're grateful for? And users were just like, nope, I don't want to do this gratitude stuff right now. I'm mad. They cheated on me. I don't want this nonsense. So that's an example to say that then our AI models further evolved, which is, then we made sure, okay, when it's about cheating and when it's about infidelity, here's a better response that the chatbot can give, which is don't jump into reframing immediately, give the person more space to be heard. And it's all precisely the exact same things that any psychologist or counselor or therapist would do in their therapy sessions as well. Because this is exactly how they operate. And I think because everything in Wiser has been written with clinicians, we have our own in-house team of psychologists. That's why a lot of how we are able to respond mimics how human therapists also speak.
So I guess that there's a, even it is AI, even if it is AI, there is a bunch of psychologists out there who are working actively behind this. That's what I understand.
Absolutely. And I think
Correct.
the most important nuance here is that, especially now, when anybody hears AI, the assumption is that it's a black box of some sort, which is, if you put a question on ChatGPT, you'll get a helpful answer, but you kind of don't know what it'll say. And you don't know where it's coming from, right? Like you can't fact check ChatGPT and being like, okay, tell me your sources and like, why is this true or not? And that's not the AI that Wiser has. What we have is a rule-based AI, as opposed to a generative AI-based model. And that's very intentional because we want to make sure that everything that comes out from the Wiser chatbot site is clinically safe, is clinically validated, and is pre-written by our team of conversation designers and clinicians. And so at the back end, almost visualize this really complex branched model with like hundreds of nodes that's, gone iterations over 7 years, 800 AI models that is very, very sophisticated. But there isn't a black box. We'd rather have Wiser, give out average answer than a harmful answer.
Great. So I'm just curious here. So this is something that I was thinking while framing all these questions. So how do you think that AI can be effective in counseling or in consoling a person? Because at the end of the day, it is an interaction that you're having with a machine at the end of the day. I'm saying that I understand whatever you've said so far, but then there's always this confusion among people that I'm talking to a system or I'm talking to a chatbot at the end of the day. And can this technology replace human psychologists? Is something that I'm curious to understand from your side.
You're right in the sense that it is fairly awkward to expect someone to open up to a robot, right? I mean, even though the world's technology is getting advanced, I don't think we're there yet where it's super common to, observe. But having said that, I think one of the things for me personally, I was also really skeptical, by the way, which is, we were seeing all this user feedback and, millions of people are using Wiser and, part of you believes it, but then when I, as an individual user, used Visa, I was really hesitant the first time I used it a couple of years ago. Let me try it. I have an open mind, but it felt a little weird to be, opening up my heart to just a robot on a screen. So I fully understand, and that is in fact precisely the experience a lot of the users actually do go through, and they've shared with us. But then, very interestingly, Anjana, there's two things that happen very soon. The first thing that happens is that people are always taken by surprise at how real, empathetic, and just nice Visa sounds. And I think tonality has a role to play in our perception of safety as human
All
beings.
right.
And so a lot of thought goes into, the kind of words. Where do you put in emojis? Do you throw in certain GIFs in the middle of the chat? Like it, all of that basically creates the environment. And you want to make the user feel, if not so intellectually, if they know this is a robot, we first want to break their emotional experience, which is emotionally, can you make them feel like they're speaking to a human being? And that's where tonality comes into play. So I think that's the first thing experientially that happens. And the second thing, which is honestly my favorite thing about Visa now, is it is entirely devoid of any judgment and identity. And what I mean by that is one of the things that we've maintained since day one is that to use Visa, one does not need to sign up. So no email, nothing's required. In fact, you don't even have to give your real name. You can put a fake nickname and just get started and start speaking to Visa. Now, what that does is something really strong psychologically, which is that you feel so anonymized, you feel so private in that conversation. Let's compare it to the best therapist out there in the world, like a top mental health psychologist. Even then, confidentiality is there, privacy is there, but you're facing a real human being, and all human beings come with biases and identities and judgments, and this could be gender, age, religion, caste, whatnot. And you, even with the best of intentions, our minds will always feel some wall, some barrier in opening up, and it'll take time. It happens. I
Correct.
think the best therapists are entirely able to, break down all those walls of judgment, but it takes time. It may take, 3 sessions, 4 sessions before you actually feel like, okay, I've gotten there with my therapist.
Correct.
With Visa, that happens in 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, a user is able to form a bond as strong as they can with a human therapist. That takes up to 3 to 4 sessions. And that's because it's so entirely anonymous, that you completely break down all walls of judgment, and open up much faster, much more strongly, much more safely.
Okay, makes sense. So, will it replace human psychologists? That's what my question was.
I was just gonna come to that. Honestly, I hope not. And that's the true answer, which is, we don't want to live in a world where there aren't human therapists and human support, because we just need so much more of everything. Right now, the world honestly is in a mental health pandemic in some ways, and especially after COVID,
You're right, right.
every country, be it, emerging economies or especially developed countries like the US and the UK, deep distresses, particularly among young people. Suicide rates are rising across Europe. It's a real problem. And one of the things that, of course, continue to be true is that the supply of mental health professionals remain lagging. And it's nearly impossible now to expect that, we'd be able to create like thousands of more mental health professionals to meet the demand. And so, whatever existing supply there is, I truly hope that stays. And in fact, the world should move in a direction where AI actually is able to amplify the capacity of human beings. And so our hope is, in the world we want to almost build, is a world where Visa is always a complement to human therapists, where in spaces where human therapists have limited capacity and, they want to augment and amplify how much more they can support their users, add on Visa, and never replace human
Correct.
therapists.
But I came to understand that, you have released a Hindi version of this app, right? So, Vaisa, I just wanted to get into this very minute details that why do you think that it has to have a Hindi version? And do you plan on having other languages like maybe Malayalam or Tamil as a part of this app? And do you find that regional language has to be given that kind of an importance?
Yeah, so we've launched Hindi now about a, we've built Hindi last year, and it was the first language that outside of English we've decided to expand into. I love your question in terms of, you know, why Hindi? And I think the true reason is that if we want to solve for global mental health, that global essentially means also people who don't speak English. And honestly, that's the true answer, which is we've started out, of course, building it in English because pre-existing demand typically in users who speak English, you know, greater access, so on and so forth. And, you know, it's allowed us to be super global. Visa is now used by people in more than 90 countries around the world. And because English is one of the most global languages, that's what's given us the scale. But after a point, there will be a ceiling. And if you want to go from, you know, our current 6 million users to 60 million users, and that, in fact, you know, is our next mission, is how do we 10x the impact of the lives that we can touch? Language was just an obvious one to expand to. And the reason I think to do Hindi first was fairly personal reason, which was, you know, Wisely is an Indian-born company. You know, our founding team, our co-founders, they're all in Bangalore. This is where, you know, we started, and this is what I think at, in the heart, like everyone's deeply passionate about. Doing something in India again, because I think in the last 7, 8 years, while we've achieved a lot globally, the Indian mental health market, of course, has often lagged those of developed economies. So now, from a timing perspective, also Anjana is a good time because there's a lot of increased recognition and demand from users for mental well-being solutions. So that's why we started with Hindi. But regional languages, of course, is absolutely the way to go. Because more than I think, so there's one, of course, there's a logical reason, right? Which is you want to reach more people, you need more languages, right? So you can break down more access barriers. But I think the second interesting thing that I find is that even when people who do speak English and who do speak Hindi as a second language, it is often in your native or mother tongue that you prefer to emote the
Correct,
best.
correct.
And so, you know, I've unfortunately only speak Hindi and English, but I have friends, you know, who like speak Malayali or like who speak Tamil, and they'll speak English wonderfully at work, but like when they truly speak to their friends and, you know, want to talk about like their deep emotions, they go back to their mother tongue.
Correct, correct, of course.
And that's so understandable, right? Because that's the language your heart speaks.
Correct, correct.
And so if you want to really, really help people, we have to do it in a language they speak. And you know, this phrase that I like to use is we have to meet people where they are. And to meet people where they are, language is one of the most powerful ways to do it. So absolutely, I think we're in Hindi now. We've indeed got plans to expand to other languages such as Marathi, Kannada, and other regional languages as well in the coming years.
Makes sense. But I just want to ask you, after launching the Hindi version of this app, have you seen a surge in the number of people reaching out to the chatbot asking for help? Or if you have a specific number on how many Indians are there as users, it will be really grateful.
So from a number of Indian users, of course, we've had Indian users for, you know, ever since we started. But those were all in English language. So if, you know, if I were to give a number around that, typically around 20% of our entire user base are users from India. So, you know, 20% of 6.5 million now are users from India. So we've got a strong foothold in India. We're fairly, you know, our active users from India continue to keep sharing feedback. And downloading on the App Store, Play Store. So the India story remains active and growing for us. But specifically, when we launched Hindi, one of the things we intentionally decided to do, Anjana, was to not release it on the B2C Play Store route, and in fact, distribute the Hindi app via partners. And what I mean by that essentially is, of course, there's one world in which, you know, you launch it on the Play Store and, you know, just do a bunch of marketing, app store optimization, and you know, people download it, and that's how you distribute. We didn't want to do it, and it was very specifically for two reasons. I mean, we've of course a lot of user research and market research has gone behind this, but at the heart of it, the idea is that for our Hindi app, we didn't put it on the Play Store and do a direct B2C approach. And the main reason for that was because a lot of the people who use Wyzer typically are people who are looking for help. And what that means is that these are the people, who have gone on the internet and typed something like have anxiety, need therapy, stuff like that. Which means that the explicit need or acknowledgement that, hey, here is a mental health related concern exists in these people, and that's why they're seeking help. When you look at a Hindi speaking population in India, and of course it's very, very heterogeneous, so I wouldn't like to oversimplify it, but typically tier two, tier three cities, slightly lower economic, different levels of access than your metropolitan English speaking India. Now, when you think of the Hindi speaking world, that explicit acknowledgement that, hey, I have a mental health related concern does not exist. And so to expect that population to go to the app store, find this chatbot, download it for their mental health concern, doesn't make sense, therefore. So what we need is actually to go one step deeper, which is how do you first create that felt awareness? How do you create that need? And how do you make that need explicit and make people realize that, hey, what you're feeling is this, and what you need is this? And so it has to be a different approach. For Wyzer, for a mental health solution to work in slightly lower resource settings, because it needs to be supplemented with a lot of more offline, in-person actions around creating awareness before you create access. And I think this funda of awareness before access is sort of the philosophy of how we're thinking of our Hindi approaches. Do you do it through partners, who have trust within their communities? You have strategic implementing partners in the grassroots who can allow you to test, create evidence around Hindi. Because having said and done everything, even though Wyzer has been in the business for a while, this Hindi product in some ways is a new product because it isn't a direct copy paste of our English product because it's made for a different type of user. And so the product looks different and the user is entirely different. And so our entire approach of, what works in English, we can't expect that to be entirely replicated in Hindi. So in some ways, it's a little bit of a zero to one journey, once again, for Wyzer in this space.
I think it must be like an unlearning and relearning kind of a process for you then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get that.
Absolutely,
I
yeah.
get that. So this makes a lot of clarity, but I'm just curious to understand this. So when you launched Hindi version of this app, I'm sure that you might have got a lot of queries on, can you give a Hindi version of this app, or could you help us with getting more access to regional languages? Because people might be struggling to type a sentence in English. In a country like India, we tend to have people who doesn't have access to English language, right? So did you get such queries? Was that the reason that led to the launch of a Hindi version of this app?
Absolutely. And we continue to, by the way, to this day for many other languages. So, on the App Store and the Play Store, reviews and feedback from users keep coming in on our social media handles, particularly on Instagram. Users truly love writing to Wyzer. And every so often, very consistently in the last few years, we've had people just really asking for languages consistently for Hindi, for other regional languages. But even outside of Hindi and India, globally as well, because like I said, a lot of our users are across the world. So we've had so many people asking for, Spanish, French, Turkish, Russian, name it. And so that essentially tells us that, and these are of course people who've found Wyzer, right? And so they've kind of used it, they know there's an English version and they're okay using it in English, but what they truly desire is that, hey, can you please give it to me in my language? And for us, that was basically what was most telling, is that, even the users that we do have want it in the regional language, and imagine the amount of new users we'll be able to actually help if we actually do this. And so I think that was definitely one of the strongest nudges that pushed us in this direction.
Okay, one last question, Rhea. So how did you find the funding for this app?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate to have the backing of some great investors and philanthropic funders, such as ACT Grants, in India. You know, they were one of our first backers who supported us in the product development of Paisa in Hindi. Like I said, you know, the Hindi product itself wasn't a direct translation from the English to Hindi. And so there was a lot of user-first and human-centered design that we had to do, incorporate a lot more of hand-holding, psychoeducation in the Hindi flow that we wouldn't typically do in English, and so on and so forth. So that was really important for us to have the support of ACT to be able to do the product development. And then we've also had support from a few others, such as the 100X Impact Accelerator that sits out of the London School of Economics. They've been our most recent backers to really help us scale Visa across India, which includes, of course, expansion to other regional languages. And so it's been a mix of, you know, of course, the existing institutional investors that Visa has, you know, bulk of whom are impact investors. So they're all very mission-driven and in support of expanding our impact and scale, but also I think philanthropic funders that we've found along the way, who all I think the common thing that's resonated and drives all of these backers is just the idea of how something so cost-effective and scalable like Visa can create impact that is as deep as other, you know, more human resource intensive initiatives. So we've been able to demonstrate such strong evidence, Sanjana, around actual reduction in symptoms of anxiety and depression, ability of people to seek help. And in fact, we've also, this is one of the things I really like talking about, is that, you know, internally at Visa, we also track the number of people who actually write to us to say that Visa has saved their life. And almost 415 people, I think, last I checked 2 days ago. So more than 400 people have actually voluntarily, you know, proactively reached out to us and written, "Hey, using Visa saved my life." And I think that essentially is what drives everybody's, you know, how can you take an innovation like Visa, which is perhaps one of the only few innovations in the world right now that can unlock and solve for global mental health in a way that's scalable in all countries in the world and at a cost-effective level, because we're digital and AI-led. So yeah, we've been very fortunate to find, you know, believers of that same mission along the way.
Thank you so much, Ria, for joining with us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us. I'm sure our listeners would have gained a lot of insights from this conversation. We'll be back with yet another episode of Business Line Podcast. Till then, this is your host, Anjana, signing off.